the Quran has heaven, has a paradise that is indisputably lavish and gorgeous, and you know, it's as you said before the break, you know, overflowing with water and fountains, and there's wine there that doesn't make you drunk. And
why is that important?
Well, because in Islam, drinking wine is forbidden on earth, and so in heaven you get to drink the wine, but it doesn't have the bad qualities of wine. So it's perfect. You get the freedom that you didn't have on earth.
How about if you're just in heaven, you get to drink the wine, but they can't tell you're drunk?
Possibly.
Sorry, go ahead.
And, you know, the Quran describes the clothes that you wear in heaven, beautiful silk clothes that are green and gold, and you wear gold bracelets, and you lounge on silk upholstered couches, and there are waiters, people coming to serve you, goblets of cool things to drink. And of course, there are the houris. And houris, H-O-U-R-I-S, is a word that just means dark-eyed. Most scholars interpret it as women. They are beautiful, sexually available maidens, there to do your bidding. As we discovered after 9/11, a lot of Islamic terrorist groups use this vision of virgins in heaven as kind of propaganda to incentivize young men to become martyrs for their cause. The number 72 is not in the Quran. It is in some of the traditions, some of the hadith.
Right.
But it was made very popular throughout the Middle East and throughout the Islamic world around the time of the Iran-Iraq war, when incentivizing young men to go to battle became very important. And back to the idea that, you know, heaven is the culmination of your wildest desires, for a 20-year-old man, going to some place where there are, you know, 72 hot chicks is waiting there for him specifically, is certainly, you know, incentive. Although I refrain from saying that it is the only incentive, for clearly, you know, in an act of terrorism, a lot goes into an act of terrorism beyond a vision of heaven, I think.
Right. But it is also sort of it could be the sealer, you know, that could be the capstone on other things that, and on top of all of this, really, you know, we convince you that this is what you'll get in just seconds after the pain. You'll never feel the pain, but you'll get all the gain.
Yeah. I mean, Muhammad Atta, in his letter, in the letter that he wrote before he boarded American Airlines 11, wrote about the 72 versions. So clearly, it's an incentive. And it may be, you know, a way of talking about martyrdom that's comfortable for these guys.
It said, so wine, all the wine you can drink, but you never get drunk. Does it say that you have 72 versions and you can have as much sex as you want, but you won't feel anything? Do they ever?
There's a lot of conversation about sex in heaven, not just in Islam, but in Christianity, and about, you know, because the problem is, theologically, is that in the resurrection you get your body back.
Right.
But what can your body do in heaven? What does your body want to do? What kind of body do you get back? And St. Augustine, in the 5th century, really struggled with this in his book, City of God. You know, okay, God promises that we have our bodies back, but do we have sex? You know, do we chew? Do we eat? Do we have teeth? Do we have organs? All of the stuff that's yucky about human bodies. Do we do all of that stuff too? So Augustine basically came down on the side of, you know, yes, we have our most beautiful bodies. We're 30 in heaven. We don't have wrinkles or, you know, signs of sickness. We appreciate the beauty of the opposite sex, but that arouses no lust. So that's how he got around that, you know. Women are beautiful, even more beautiful in heaven than they are in life, but in men they arouse no lust. So,
well, what's the point of that?
I don't know.